message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Church, as followers of Jesus, the scriptures should determine how we do life, how we do marriage, how we raise our children, how we vote. I've talked about that. How we treat people regardless of how they vote. Right? How I respond to the news such as that which came down yesterday. This book, the Bible, gives me guidelines on how to live. I can't just do what I want to do. I can't just say anything that comes to my mind. I'm supposed to be spirit-led. And yes, we all stumble and we all fall short, but we should be making efforts to live within the guidelines of the book. That book should determine our behavior. And when we blow it, and I'm going to blow it, and you're going to blow it, when we blow it, that book tells us that there's mercy and grace and forgiveness available. And we go and we get that and we make the necessary adjustments and we get up and we go again. Kind of like a football team going from one end of the field to the other. You get tackled, you get knocked down, you get back up, and then you go again. You get knocked down, you get back up, and you go again. And you keep going until you get across the goal line. And we're not across the goal line yet. Maybe we're getting close, amen? So the book, it matters. Title of the message is My, My, My. And you got to say it just like that. My, my, my. Concerning the news yesterday. My, my, my. Concerning the response to the news yesterday. My, my, my. Concerning all the stuff that's blowing up on Facebook. Yeah, my, my, my. That's the title. I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about my struggles, my stance, and my hope. Now, the my struggles part. We're going to start with that here in just a little bit. But let's go to Matthew 10, 25 first. Let's get a text for this. Make it all legal. Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25 up on the screen says this. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. That should concern you. Did I mention Jesus said that? Another version says that every kingdom brought to or divided against itself will be brought to ruin. And then yet another one says any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. Jesus said this. We believe in the Bible. We believe that what the Bible says will come to pass. And Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself will come to ruin and be brought to desolation. What if that comes to pass? Are we that kingdom? Is America as divided as it seems? Maybe not. Hope not. Afraid so. I don't know where you land on the spectrum, but I have concerns. When there is division, whether it be in the nation, whether it be in your home, whether it be on a school board, a church board, whatever, whenever there's division, there's at least two sides, if not more. And whenever there's an issue involved and you have strong feelings about the issue, you don't choose to be against people. You just choose to support an issue. And when you choose to support an issue without knowing it, you've put yourself against people who don't support the issue that you support. And so now you're separated from people. You wasn't trying to separate from people. You were just trying to take a stance for something you see as important and valuable. But somebody else didn't see it as important as you did. And so it put you over here and them over there. And now we got a little bit of a quandary. And it's like, well, that's no big deal. I can let that one go and be back over here. But eventually you're going to run into something that's a big deal to you. Eventually you're going to run into something that is a deal breaker. You're going to run into a value or a conviction that you hold so true that you're going to embrace this even if it puts a gap between you and somebody maybe you know, somebody you love. So when you pick a side, it's tough, but you know sometimes we have to pick a side, don't we? But again, we're not picking a side. We're picking an issue to support, and it puts you on a side. Abraham Lincoln said this. It was during, now he was president during the Civil War, and a lot of you know this quote, but somebody had come to him and said something about God is on our side, and Lincoln says, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is that we be on God's side." And I say that to say that whenever we pick an issue, we need to pick not according to our emotions, not according to who else picked that issue. We need to try and pick our issue according to what God has said is right and true. We want to be on God's side. We don't want to get over there and hope that God is on our side. We want to be on God's side. So having said all that, let's go to the first of the three my's, my struggles. I'm not going to put any of these on the screen. I don't even want you to take notes on them. I don't want you to write them down. I don't want you to learn them. Because you got your own struggles, and I don't need you taking mine and letting them become yours. Why would you want to add my struggles to your struggles? Well, what if it's a struggle I have too? Well, then you don't need to write it down. You already have it. So you don't need to take any notes right now. I'm not putting them up there. And here's the thing. I'm going to need some mercy and grace because this particular part of the message here, my struggles, I'm still processing. This news came yesterday. So what I'm doing here is I'm letting you inside my head. I know. I'm going where angels fear to tread. I'm just going to think out loud a little bit. And so I don't want you to write it down and come back to me later, "Pastor, you said this." No, I'm processing. Some of what I'm going to share under this first point may shift. And I might forget to give you a bulletin that it did. So I need some mercy and grace because I'm sharing thoughts. And they're not all in cement just yet. And so I'm going to share just a few. We could stay here till dark with my struggles. I'm just going to give a few. And I'm not putting them on the screen. And so I'm going to share them with this hope that maybe you're struggling in the same areas. I want you to know that you're not alone, that it's okay to be there. Or B, maybe you're on the other side of the fence than me, and maybe me sharing my struggles would give you some understanding as to why I can't quickly jump over there with you. Make sense? So, struggle number one. There are some things that I hear that don't ring true with me. Don't write that down. I told you, we're not taking notes here. There are some things that I'm hearing that don't sit well with me. And again, maybe it will later. But I'm questioning myself. I'm asking myself, am I that far off? Am I missing something? Worse, am I using my voice and my position as a pastor in this community to mislead people that put value in what I say? I don't want to do that. That's why you need to pray for your pastor. Let me give you, under this one, three things that I've heard a lot of things that I'm struggling with, but let me give you three. Last night, following Joe Biden's speech to the nation, I'm assuming that a lot of you heard that. You should go listen to it. Following Joe Biden's speech last night, Karl Rove made a comment about all the unity he observed. And I thought, what? This is just my head. I'm just thinking out loud. This don't even count as the message. You can't hold this against me. These are my thoughts. I thought, what? It's a crowd of Democrats in a Democratic city that voted for Joe Biden. Of course there's unity out there. There's unity at the Trump rallies too. There's unity for Joe Biden over here, and there's unity for Donald Trump over here. 57,000 people at a rally chanting, "We love you." Unity. There's unity on both sides. That's not the problem. The problem is there's no unity between the two sides. So when he said that, it came across like we're making some progress. Now listen, if you don't know who Karl Rove is, he's the guy that I thought he's kind of on the Republican side of things. So I struggled a little bit with that. See, unity is easy when only one side is present. Now, you can write that down. You can write that. Unity is easy when only one side is present. The truth of the matter is that America is still greatly divided even after yesterday's announcement. There's unity over here and there's unity over here, but there's not unity in the United States of America. So Matthew 10, 25 concerns me. There are two distinct sides. There are Trump supporters, there are Biden supporters. And really, probably more accurately, there are Trump supporters and there are Trump haters. That's probably more truthful. It's not so much voting for Joe Biden as I'm voting against Donald Trump. Can I confess something? 4 years ago, I didn't really cast my ballot for Donald Trump. I mean, I did, but I was voting against Hillary more than I was voting for him. This year, I voted for him. So y'all see what I'm saying? So there's many who voted for Biden, but they were actually voting against Trump, and that's because many, many on the left, and I can't take the time to validate all this, but I'm just, it's out there. There are many on the left who hate him. I don't mean dislike. I mean hate. And church, this is a problem. If Joe Biden becomes our president, you can't hate him. I've never hated a president. Now people, now kidding. No, we don't hate. You may not agree with, you may not like, you may not support, but you don't hate. And I'm telling you, there is a segment of the population in America that hates our national leader. And that is a problem. Many of them never accepted him as president. They were always against his personality and would never acknowledge anything good that he did, and he did plenty good. I could go down the list and take the rest of this afternoon, but can I mention one thing? Because over here, there's a cry for peace and unity now. President Donald Trump negotiated 3 major historic peace deals in the Middle East. Why wasn't that celebrated? Why wasn't that reported? Why didn't we put that out there so everybody on both sides could go, well, that's good. Peace in America, peace in the world. Why? Because we hate him. And if my enemy does anything good, I don't even want to give him props for that. A second thing that I've heard out of many. Joe Biden said this in his speech last night. I sought this office to restore the soul of America. Translation, I'm going to save America. Pre-COVID, America was at a peak that it hasn't seen in decades. Pre-COVID, employment was at all-time highs. Unemployment reached a very low number. Records were set. During COVID, the economy began to recover, and one of the peace deals, I know at least one of the peace deals were done during COVID. Even during the pandemic, good things were happening. So I struggle with this, I'm going to come save America, as if America is drowning. America may not be swimming full speed ahead. America may be in need of improvement, but America was not and is not drowning. The agenda of this current Democratic Party, and I say current because today's Democratic Party is not yesterday's Democratic Party. So don't take it personal. The agenda of this current Democratic Party isn't about saving America. It's about making America something she's never been. If any issue in America says something about losing our soul in America, it's the issue of abortion. And this party, the platform, I'm not talking about an individual, the platform supports abortion through the 9th month of pregnancy. Ultrasounds have been had 4D pictures can be put on the wall. They're that clear. Kicking has taken place. Family members have put their hands on the belly of mama to feel the kicking of the baby. And yet this party says it's still okay to abort even at that point. That and partial birth abortion. If we're losing the soul in America, it's because of that practice. It's not because Donald Trump is president of the United States. The third thing I've heard, and Joe Biden said this last night, it's time to put the anger and the harsh rhetoric behind us and come together as a nation. It's time for America to unite and to heal. I don't disagree with that. But here's what I hear. Y'all know I'm still just thinking out loud. You know that I'm still processing and some of this could shift. You know that. You know that, watching by a camera. You know that. Here's what I hear. It's time for America to unite. What I hear is you now need to do what we've not made attempts to do for 4 years. Where were the leaders on the left when there was violence in the streets? Where were the leaders on the left that were standing up and opposing the looting and the rioting and the burning of buildings in our major cities? Why didn't one leader step up and say, we can't do this? But now, it's time to unite. I got to be careful. Yeah, while that video Fire Bible was playing, I took my iPad and I put it on a little draw thing and I drew some little smiley faces on my notes. I really did. Because I'm not wanting to come across as aggressive and angry. I'm concerned about our nation. And hear me to the end before you conclude what you think I'm going to conclude. Listen, Joe Biden's speech last night, it was good. It really was. I'm not going to be like an enemy of Donald Trump and, well, it was good, but I'm not going to say so. Come on. The peace deals in the Middle East were good. Why don't you look at him and go, you know, I don't really like you, but that was good. So I will say this. Joe Biden's speech last night was good. It's okay, church. You can go, amen, if you watched it and thought so. He said all the right things. Politicians always do. They always say the right things. Only time will tell if we're going to do what we said. And that's why I voted for Donald Trump. He's done what he said he was going to do. Church, if Joe Biden is elected president of the United States, I will do my best to unite and be a part of the solution. I will not take to the streets and break things. I will do my best. But let me give you just a few things what I can and can't do. Let me start with some can'ts. No matter if it's him as president or if they remove him and put Kamala as president, Nancy Pelosi as president, the dog that Biden owns as president. I don't care who the president is. Whoever the president is, if it's a Democratic president, I can't ever support their platform. I can't get behind their platform. Now, I can do my part to try to unite in areas where I can, but I will never be able to support your platform. It's against everything I hold dear and true. It's against what I believe the Word of God has declared as right. So I can't support the platform. I can't support a party who condones abortion in the 9th month of pregnancy, among a list of other things. Yesterday, I was on Facebook, and I blame Paul a little bit of this for this. Paul got me back on Facebook, and so I've lost some hair and popped a blood vessel, and it's all due to Paul. Yeah, thank you. And I saw a pastor friend of mine's post. I have great respect for him. He's on my side in many ways, not just politically, but spiritually. Denominationally, career, calling. And he threw out congratulations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, our new president-elect. And as I read that, it something just didn't sit right with me. I'm still thinking out loud, people. I haven't even got to the preaching yet. I'm just thinking out loud. But something didn't sit right with me, and so I looked up the word congratulate in the dictionary. I think I knew what it meant, but you know, it was one of those, I want to see exactly what it means. And it says, an expression of joy in the success of another. And I thought, that's what's not sitting right with me. I have no joy in this. And I'm not going to express any joy because I do not want you to succeed. I'm just going to be honest. That I'm thinking out loud, church. I don't want you to succeed. Why? You against him? No, I'm against the platform. If he succeeds, more babies die. If he succeeds, your taxes go up to the 60, 70% margin. Do you want me to go down the list what happens if he succeeds? So I have trouble, so I can't support the platform. And right now, again, I'm in process. Maybe I'll get there, but right now, I can't offer congratulations. I almost felt like, because there's a number of pastors, there's a little division going on there too. But it's almost like some are quick to jump into the congratulations. Whoa, thank God this is over. Let's move forward. And we just want to be done. It's not done. It's just not done yet. We'll talk about that a little bit. So I can't support the platform. I'm pretty sure that's concrete. I'm sure that'd be a never unless they change the platform. And right now, I can't really congratulate, but let me give you three things that I can do. If an investigation is done and shows the election to be just, or even if it doesn't prove that it's just, and Joe Biden becomes the president of the United States, he will be my president, and I can accept that. I will accept that. And a second thing I can do, I will respect him because he is the leader. Whoever is the leader of my nation deserves your respect. I tried to respect Obama and Clinton, Bush, whether I voted for them or didn't vote for them, I accept them as my president. There is a crowd over here that says, he's not my president. I'm not part of that crowd. If Joe Biden becomes president, he will be my president. I will accept that because I'm trying to be led and directed by the truths and the principles in God's word, and I believe that's what God expects of me. So I can't accept it. I will do my best to accept it. I will respect him. And the third thing is I will pray for him. And I'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Let me give you struggle number two. It's not just the things that I hear. My second struggle is the division, not just in America, but in the church. And this is becoming a big struggle. Many church people are celebrating yesterday's announcement. And I struggle with that. So are you against them? No, I'm not against them at all. That's part of my struggle. I get it that not everybody likes the way that President Trump communicates. But President Donald Trump has been a godsend for the Christian community. And I don't have the time to go down the list of things that he has done for the Christian world. He has been the best friend that Christianity has had in the White House in a very long time. He has stood for and fought for the very things that matter most to us. He is the most pro-life president that has ever sat behind the desk. He has been for us. Why would we celebrate early? I'm going to read something to you. How can Christians read the same book, worship the same God, and then yet vote differently? Have you wondered that? Now, I understand there are some Christians that are Christian in name only. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about believers who really love Jesus and are serving in their church or community, using their gifts, reading their Bible, praying. How can that group read the same book, worship the same God as me, and yet vote opposite of me? Ain't I right? A friend of mine, Chad Germany, who's been a missionary a few different places for many years and now pastors in Hawaii. I know, somebody's got to do it, he said. I want to read to you a post of his. just a couple of pages, but track with me on this. He says this: it can be perplexing to see how true believers in Christ can vote in opposite ways and both feel they are voting according to the Word of God. How is this? I have a theory. A missionary friend of mine lived in the Arab world and fell deeply in love with the Arab people. In that process, he absorbed a deep frustration with the Israeli people. He watched the injustices committed against the Arabs, the people that he was called to reach, and he could not help but grow frustrated towards what he felt was Jewish oppression of Palestinians and Arabs. If you spent much time with missionaries to the Arab world, you will find that this is a common challenge for all of them. The injustices are real. Having grown up in the Bible Belt, on the other hand, I had a very different perspective. We are commanded to bless Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I had a somewhat naive, blind loyalty to Israel in my heart. So when I heard his comments about Israeli oppression of Arabs, I was jarred. When I questioned him about these verses, he did not disagree with the biblical mandate to bless Israel. In his heart, he believed and knew that it was the right thing. But then he made a statement that stuck with me. This is key. And he said, as missionaries, we sometimes catch the codes of our people. We sometimes catch the colds, not the codes, the colds of our people. In other words, we absorb the frustrations of the people that we love and are called to serve. Across this great nation in which we live are believers who love God and are seeking to bring the light and love of God into their communities. And as they serve their communities, they fall in love with their people. And right or wrong, they feel and absorb the pains of their people. They catch their colds. Church, I'm sharing this to help us. And here's the truth. We all do. None of us are always right. If you were to probe the depths of my heart, you would find lots of hurts and frustrations, some legitimate, some not. But they are still my hurts. And if you genuinely care about me as a person, you would try to empathize with me. And if our relationship was strong enough, you might even confront some of my illegitimate frustrations and try to help me find healing. But likely, you would absorb some of the hurts and frustrations in the process. You would absorb some of my stuff. You would probably internalize my perception of certain people and problems. And some of the perceptions you would internalize from me would hopefully be right. And some of what you internalize from me would certainly be wrong. Why? Because I am flawed, broken, and a mistaken human. So in absorbing my frustrations, you are catching my colds, and now you are infected. To be infected means to be unhealthy, for something to be physically wrong. It means something has entered into your biological system that is not right, and it's hindering your body from functioning properly. And this is the challenge for all believers. We must live in the world and love and serve the people in the world without allowing the world to infect us with its ungodly values and frustrations. Over the last few months, we have seen countless first responders infected with COVID. Many have even died. It's a sobering reminder of the risk of serving the unhealthy. Their illness can become our own. And the same is true in our communities, in our nation as a whole. We can absorb hurts and injustices and become unhealthy in our hearts and attitudes towards other people and political groups. We must remember that the goal of the healthcare worker is not to become infected themselves, but to help others return to a place of health. And our goals as believers is to serve our communities with empathy without allowing their frustrations and fears and hurts to cause us to become embittered and unhealthy. Otherwise, we become the blind leading the blind. So if you question how anyone else can vote a certain way, remember, there are other genuine believers that may be asking the same thing about you. And if you are confident that you are right and they are wrong, remember, it is pride that led us to sin in the first place. I will be the first to admit I don't understand how true believers can vote the way that they did, differently than I did. But I will also be the first to admit that I am blind to my own pride and my own blindness. I have caught colds that I didn't even know I had. And so have you, and so have they. Any pride and bitterness will only further embitter and sicken us all, but love and grace and kindness and empathy can help us all feel valued, respected, and healthy again. Pride says, I'm right and you're wrong. This never leads to anything good. Love says, I value you and I want to help you. This always leads to something good, if not in the other person, then at least in your own heart. Sometimes people catch the cold of a certain group of people because they're part of that group of people. And it overweighs maybe some things that are in the Word of God. And so we need to remember that even though they may have voted on the other side and they claim to be a part of the church, you can't sit there and conclude, well, you're not really part of the church, I am. We need to be careful with that church. My third struggle, still thinking out loud. Don't worry, the next 2 points are pretty quick. My third struggle is the pressure to accept the election and move on. Many are saying it's time to admit defeat and move on. Mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney, said this, "The president needs to put his big boy pants on. I have a problem with that already. Respect." From another leader, "The president needs to put his big boy pants on. He needs to acknowledge the fact that he lost, and he needs to congratulate the winner." Here's the thing. The news came out yesterday. He said this on Friday. "Technically, even today, Joe Biden is not the president-elect. He is the projected winner. You can't be the elect until the Electoral College casts their vote, and that happens in December. Then, if that's accepted, you become the president-elect." But it's already being thrown out there, and there's a danger in that, and I'll share that in a minute. In a baseball game, we're talking about my struggle here, the pressure to accept things and just move on. In a baseball game, I'm one of those, I'm going to hang on to hope until the final out. We may be down by 4 runs, and it may be 2 outs and 3 balls and 2 strikes. I'm going to watch this next pitch. It ain't over till somebody starts singing. See, I stay politically correct there. I hang on to hope until the final out. If we lose, I pack up my stuff and I move on. If it was a hard loss, I may sit in the stands a while, but eventually I get up and I move on. But don't push me out of the stands before this game is over. It's not done. I want to see the thing to the end. There will come a time to accept and move on, but until then, there's nothing wrong with going through the process. The left didn't accept Donald Trump as president for 4 years. We can take more than 4 days. It's okay to finish the game. You don't go down without a fight. You don't quit until you know the real results. Even in sports, if there's a questionable call, nowadays you can throw a flag and they will go look at the cameras and the videos and they will look at it from all angles and they'll come out and either correct the call or they'll tell you that the call stands. I like that. Some just want to concede because of weariness, and maybe you're there. I get that. We think that if we can just wave the white flag and let's get on and let's just go forward. We're tired. We're weary. But church, I would suggest that you keep your eyes on what's up the road. And I would say fight the good fight until the Lord says it's time to move on. Just looking for relief. I understand that. Keep believing. Keep praying. For the sake of the unborn, for the sake of religious freedom, and for the sake of the America of tomorrow, you need to finish the fight. And I'm not trying to talk about, I know there's a lot of prophecies and dreams out there, and a lot of people are posting the words to, he's coming soon, and when we all get there, I get it. Some prophesying this, Trump's going to be there, it's going to be an overturn. Some prophesying Trump already lost, and some are ready for Jesus, come get me. I'm good with that third group. But what if he don't? Not yet, anyway. I'm not talking about all the prophecies and dreams. This won't be the first prophecy and dream that didn't come to pass that I've seen. There's a thing called false prophets out there. And there's a thing called pizza out there that's causing some dreams. Now, you did not hear me say all them prophets are false. I don't know. What I'm telling you is time will tell. Don't push me out of the bleachers and get me away from the game. Let me sit there until the final out. And when the final out is done, I will get up and we will move along. But I ain't leaving early. Still talking, church, out of my head. Just still thinking. I want to touch one other issue. Back on the baseball analogy. We've done a lot of baseball, Teresa and I, with Connor. And he's won a lot of games, and we've lost a lot of games. I'm competitive. I don't like to lose. And if you like to lose, I'll be glad to play you in anything. Because if you let me win, we can both be happy. And whenever we lose, a hard game especially, it's painful. You know, when your grandson, the championship game, and then you lose, it hurts. But here's what makes it worse. When you lose, and you think that the referee is the one who caused it, now it's not just painful, it brings in frustration and anger. We've had games, because with cell phones now, we're video and stuff, and we have video plays at first base. Connor plays first, and so we'll be watching, and they make the play, and we catch it on video, and umpire goes safe, and then we look at the video and go, no, he ain't. He's out. We got it right here. And usually one call ain't going to change the direction of the game, but one call can, especially if it's at the end of the game. And so when you lose, it hurts. And there's a lot of people that are hurting, and no matter who wins, half the people are going to be hurting. But the added frustration and anger is due to the big question mark that looms over America concerning the ballots. Please don't hear me saying, I do not embrace all the conspiracy theories that are floating around out there. There's some stupid stuff out there. I've read some stuff and I thought, that ain't true. That ain't true. I mean, I wish it was, but that ain't true. What is true? What ain't true? Just sit there and watch the game and let the people that do their thing, and you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. But don't push me out of the bleachers just yet. It's a little bit more ball game to go. There's a lot of accusation flying around regarding the unfairness of this election. A lot of it is nonsense and only wishful thinking and desperate attempts to get their way. But there are legitimate reasons. I have seen enough to know that there are legitimate reasons for concern where some questionable things have taken place in regard to voting. So, with that being said, since there is a question mark, why don't we go ahead and do the recount? Why don't we go ahead and do the investigation? Shouldn't everybody on both sides want the game to finish in a fair manner? Yes, everybody should want that. And anybody that doesn't want that is a part of the problem. Well, it's just like you said, Pastor, it's a ball game. You lose some, you win some, just you lost. This ain't just a ball game. This is the presidential election that determines the future of our nation. It matters. So finish the process. Finish the recounts. Do whatever needs to be done. Joe Biden made a plea for unity. He said this: the Bible tells us to everything there is a season, a time to heal. And this is the time to heal in America. I know where that is. I believe that's true. This is a time that we need healing here in America. But if you really believe that, if you really want healing, if you really want resolve, you've got to communicate to your group that this is the right thing to do to confirm that this election was fair and just. Everybody should want that, so that when the game is over, we don't leave with anger and frustration. We only leave with pain, and that will go away with time. If after a fair election, the will of the people is Joe Biden, it will be easier for everybody else to get on board. Now, I want to say something before I get out of my head and preach my 5 points. They're fast. Don't be nervous. At this point right here, if they do the recount, there's a part of me that hopes, just a part of me, still processing, don't talk to me about these things. There's a part of me that hopes that it will be proven Yes, it was fair and just. And Joe Biden still is the winner. Do you hope that, Pastor? No, not completely, but not uncompletely. I said, there's a part of me. You know why? Because they've already given out the trophy. If you take the trophy back now, I have some fear concerning what will happen to this nation. Matthew 10:25 concerns me. A kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation. If you take it back now, after the speech, after the party, if you take it back now, the stuff we saw on the streets a while back will pale in comparison to what we'll see up the road. Again, I'm not concluding how I want it to be. I'm going to sit there and watch the game and pray and let people do their part, and then we'll see. My stance. Those are my struggles. I've just let you inside of my brain for a little bit. Get out of there now. Get out. I don't need you up there in my head anymore. So let's talk about my stance. What should we do as people of faith in the midst of this crisis? Five quick things that I borrowed from another. Number one, we can pray for a righteous outcome to the election. That's what you need to be praying. Pray for a righteous outcome. Let God determine the outcome. Let everybody do their part, and then let God determine the outcome. Pray for President Trump. Pray for Joe Biden. Pray for the lawyers. Pray for the investigators. Pray for everybody involved. Pray for a righteous outcome to the election, and then pray for those in authority. Yes, pray for Joe Biden. If he becomes my president, I will pray for him. I'm not going to pray for him the same way I might pray for somebody else. I'm going to pray that God give him wisdom. I'm going to pray that God direct his steps. I'm going to pray that God encounter him and shake his life up and just become alive in him. I'm not going to pray God give him success. Number two, we can worship God as God. Did you find worship refreshing this morning? There is something about coming together with other believers, because you can put them same songs on at the house, and you know what? They work there too at the house, and I would encourage you to do that. But then on Sunday, when we get to come together, there is just a refreshment and a strength that comes with worshiping together. Worship God as God. You sense peace and hope and strength as we sing Waymaker. And even when I don't see and I don't get it and I don't understand, I know that God is doing some stuff. Number three, take refuge in Him in the middle of the storm. You've got to turn off that TV. You got to get off that Facebook. I'm not saying forever. I'm just saying you got to balance your time. You've got to stay in fellowship with your Heavenly Father. You've got to spend time in His Word. You can't stay glued to mainstream media and social media. It will eat you up. And then you're going to call me, Pastor, I got fear and anxiety. Would you pray? And I'm going to go, no, turn the TV off. Just kidding. I'll pray. God help them with their fear and anxiety and help them turn TV off. Amen. Number four, go and be a blessing to someone else. There's this tendency to just hunker down and wait for the storm to pass. That's good on hurricanes. This is a different kind of storm. So continue to love people. Continue to do your part. Continue to do ministry. Continue to serve your church, your community, your neighbor. People are hurting. People are confused. People have lost hope, and you, because of Jesus in you, are a carrier of hope. Go infect some people with hope. Number five, the final one. Avoid the winds and waves of hatred and revenge. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us how to do that. Philippians 4:6-7, write that down. You're writing down things now, remember? This is the good part. You take the notes here. Philippians 4:6-7 tells you how to guard your heart, guard your mind. But let me add this. You can find this in the Bible too. Guard your lips. Be careful of what's coming out. And when I say guard your lips, I'm talking about your words. And the words come out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart. The words come. So take care of your heart so that better words will come. And when I talk about your words, I'm not just talking about the words you speak. Guard your fingers. How many of you have, I'll comment on that post, killing your computer with all the anger? Listen, if you're that angry, maybe you ought to go take a break, take a walk, and come back, and then type something, and then don't even send it. Just look at it. Maybe you'll feel better just typing it, and then you can delete it. Be led of the Spirit a little bit in your words, in your response. We have to be led by the book in the way we respond to things. So there's my struggles. There's my stats. Now let's talk about my hope. I want to share something, and this came from a Facebook post as well. It was actually my post. I had posted something there in church. I try to be very careful. I'm not trying to be careful to stay in my lane. Don't want to make anybody mad. I want to make sure that if somebody gets mad, it's not because of me, the messenger. If they're offended at the message, that's different. But I try to post as I feel led to post, and I have worked on a post and set it aside and even slept on it and come back the next day and go, I ain't even sending that, and delete. And then I have sent some. And this one I sent, and I got positive responses for the most part, and I'm not looking for 100% positive response. And in fact, I was telling my daughter, I said, you know, I'm not getting enough hate. Jesus said, you're going to be hated for my name's sake, and I am just not getting enough. Not looking for it, but it will come. And so this one person, whom I know, had commented, and he alluded to the idea that I'm putting my hope in a man. So I just typed back. No, I didn't. I did respond, though. Church, my hope is not in a man, but I believe my Bible tells me to pray for my leader, to support my leader, to love the nation that I believe God gave us, and to do my part. That's to pray, that's to vote. If you want to call your congressman, call your congressman. You want to write your senator, write your senator. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with doing them things, but we do not put our hope in a man. So I just told him, I said, listen, just to be clear, my hope is not in Donald Trump. My vote is for Donald Trump, but my hope is in God Almighty. If I use my voice to question some things in the political arena, it doesn't make me un-American. It doesn't make me un-Christian. It doesn't mean that I'm hoping in Donald Trump as the savior of our country. Church, the Bible makes it very clear. Some put their hopes in horses and chariots. Some put their hopes in a man. But we put our hope in the Lord God. Little David, when he went out there to Goliath with his sling and his five stones, he said, you come to me with your sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord. My hope is not in a man. My hope is in God. My hope is in the name of the Lord. I know where my hope is.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.